It's the Puppet Parent Podcast. In this episode, we'll talk about Christmas shopping, an elf visitor, our favorite local video game stores, and bad food that tasted good. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Puppet Parent Podcast.
I'm Z.
I'm Chad.
And we are parents, puppeteers, and we have a podcast.
That's right.
We are the puppeteers from Wonder Spark Puppets. We are a family puppetry company. And we have been navigating this pandemic weekly through these podcasts and other online content. But since the week of March 17th, we have been doing weekly podcasts.
You did a thorough explanation last time.
Well, you know.
Last episode, so I'd say check that.
There might be new people.
But for the people who have heard the five-minute spiel, I feel like, you know, let's cut it down a little bit. We didn't talk about this before the show, because I just did a show before the show.
How did your show go?
My show went. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
We had a client who asked us to do a show with Pokemon, and I said no, but we can put some references in there. Why not? So we did the case of the missing puppy, and the puppy really liked Pokemon, and everybody, all the characters had something to say about Pokemon, to the point where it got out of hand, and we had to, you know, break the fourth wall and talk about it for a second. That it was like a little ridiculous. It's like, you made a cake, a Pokemon cake for puppies? And he's like, yes. This is adults. This is what adults do with their spare time. And I hope all the adults watching had a good time.
Oh, that sound was the heat turning off finally.
Yes.
So now we'll just be cold while we do our podcast. But it's okay.
It's okay because it's not live because our upload speed is like 0.02 megabytes per second, which I don't know why, but that's how it is, and we can't fix it, so we're just recording. Here we go.
Rogue.
I'm going to get my water bottle. I just did a show.
Can you grab my tea?
Yeah.
Unless I left it on top. Oh, no, I see it. It's on the table, the octagon table.
Got it.
Or whatever shape that is.
Let's talk about this week.
We're so prepared.
Look
at us.
Let's talk about shopping. Let's talk about Christmas shopping, Z. Because we have had some conversations about Christmas shopping, because every year we like to get each other something for Christmas. You know, you get like a family member or maybe a child in your life or like a cousin or niece or a nephew. We always get something for our cousins.
Yes.
Our nieces and nephews out there.
Yes.
Yeah, we always do that. But sometimes it's hard because my sister who lives in Florida, I don't ever see her kids. So it's kind of like a guess. Like, what do they like? What
are
they
into? I already got something for them.
What'd you get?
Can we tell? Is this like spoilers? Are they listening?
I'm pretty
sure. Well, actually, nobody's listening at the second. But do they ever listen?
I don't think so.
All right.
If they did, they've never told me.
All right.
It's not a
slight
on them.
Leah and Seth's kids. Don't listen.
You named them. Wow.
Well, yeah. I didn't name the kids. I just said their kids. Don't listen. So they have two very young kids, mm-hmm. and so they make these sinks that the water, it's like a toy sink, and the water automatically will recycle itself through the sink. So like it comes out of the faucet. So when you turn the faucet on, water comes out of the faucet.
Is it battery powered?
It is battery powered.
Okay.
And you can wash these color changing dishes, and there's also a little stove unit on the side of it. So that's what we got for them to share as their Christmas present. And then one of them has a birthday that's very, very close to Christmas, so I have to think of a secondary present, but I haven't done that yet.
Oh,
so
man.
Yeah,
it's tough. Christmas birthdays.
Well, I will think of a secondary present. That's just what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And then I'm definitely probably overbuying a little bit for our kids, but I don't care because that's just how I feel like rolling right now.
Do you remember the last Christmas? And I did this too, hopefully not out loud, when I was a kid. But last Christmas, our oldest child, after unwrapping everything, was like looking at the piles, and he was like, you know, we didn't really get much. And I talked to him about it, and you know, I was like, came right there and was like, what do you mean? And, you know, like, hey, I think you guys got a lot, right? You know, like, look at all the stuff. But I think he meant more like maybe in a like a kid is looking at a pile of presents, like if you don't see like a big amount of toys or physical things, maybe it doesn't feel like maybe it needs to be like physical in order to feel like a like you got a mountain of things.
That's why it can't just be video games. It can't, because they're so tiny. And while they're quite expensive, like, they just don't have the representation of Christmas, the look of Christmas afterwards, you mm-hmm. know, to be like, look what I got. So I definitely bought a couple of things that are big and silly.
How big?
Well,
you don't have to get into it.
No, I don't know. I want to talk about it after Christmas because, you know,
we'll see how we did. I feel it's a little bit like a test.
I don't even have a plan for Hanukkah right now. I got out the menorah. I put it on a shelf. I felt like that was really good. Mm-hmm. And I hung up these pouches that I had gotten at Disney World last year.
Wow. Disney Hanukkah. Pouches.
For Hanukkah. 8 pouches. Do I have a plan to put anything in the 8 pouches this year? No. Because we're already helping with the elf situation every night and such. So I don't know. It's
right. We have an elf in our house
who visits,
and you can be a different place. The elf has visited us in different regions of the country. All you have to do is bring their magic door with you, and that is how they. That is how they travel to different places. We're pretty sure. Sure on that one.
That's how it's worked for us.
Yeah. So we're guessing that the elf opens up the magic door in the middle of the night and it's magic. So is it like a trans-dimensional gateway? Who knows? Does it have to pass through something?
I don't know.
Do they live in Santa's workshop? Or not in the workshop, I guess, but like up there in the North Pole? But, not sure.
But our elf's name is Jingle.
That's
and
right.
He comes to visit, and he's here, and we're really happy he's here. Mm-hmm. And the boys sometimes write notes to him, and there's an elf mailbox, so our elf has been writing back,
mm-hmm.
which has been really nice, and that's very sweet. And our elf is always up in a high place so that there's no touching of the elf.
Well, I think it's more just like there's a big dog.
There's also a dog.
Yeah,
and
you know, I think
he needs to be able to see because he's like observing our family for the month. You know,
I think it might be like vacation for elves because they work on those toys at Santa's workshop all year long, and then they're like, "Yo, get me out of here! I want to go hang out with these people. They seem nice."
Yeah,
for a month, and you know, write pen pal letters to cool people and hide. And this elf is always in a different and new situation every day. We come upon them.
Mm-hmm.
It's always hard to find them sometimes.
Yes. So it's been fun. But I'm feeling a little like I want to make everything super special, but then I'm also feeling like I'm totally exhausted, you guys. And so I don't know. It's just a lot. I mean, is anyone else feeling like they could use a pep talk? Because I am feeling like we all need a pep talk right now. All the fellow parents need a pep talk because it's grim, man. Like the news is not good. Well. And like, you know, we're living with your parents. We've been living with Chad's parents since June 1st. And the news is on. All the time.
You can't escape the news.
All the time. And so as much as I'm just trying to like limit my intake and only read the newspaper like in the morning or in the evening, like once, that's it. It's still like you can't avoid the news.
The news.
And I don't know. It's tough. I miss having people watching us while we're doing this. It's funny. It's like you'd think I'd be cool like with just doing it with you, but I miss having the live component. It's not live.
Watched while you
I guess I like that voyeur.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but anyway, the internet the internet's not coming back.
No, it hates us.
Oh no, wait.
That's
the old one.
So
oh,
anyway.
Well, and I posted something about people should join us too. Didn't know that the upload speed would be just I don't know what. Maybe I should start a tradition of going in Fridays and just resetting the Wi-Fi like every Friday. Like, hey, ladies, here we go. Boop, boop. And just reset it for good measure.
I don't know. The only other thought that I had is that you mentioned that you uploaded a couple of larger files and that they throttled us because of it.
And they shouldn't.
I don't know. Sometimes they do. So then you need to call.
Yeah. Well, if you know what, I think this is just propelling me to finally have like a go-to number for them, right?
Yeah,
because I don't have that because I'm not the because we're piggybacking on somebody else right now.
Right, but we are using it.
Yeah.
Every day. Anyway, this is part of being out here, you guys. But we're so thankful to be out here. I mean, that's the thing is like you get like, oh God, and then you say, but I'm so thankful. We're so like, I don't know if anybody else is experiencing that, but I feel like it's like this constant mix of emotions of like feeling like joy and despair and. Like Whoa. Happy. All right, maybe that's too much, but no, I'm dramatic.
That's like a,
theater. I'm a theater person. But I just am feeling like all sorts of emotions all the time, all mixed up at once. And then when somebody asks me how I'm doing, I don't know how to answer that question. I just feel like good. Like I'm okay. I mean, I'm not bad. But I'm definitely feeling like, okay, you're like every day. I'm like, I'll wake up and some days I'll be like, you know what? We're going to make today super special for the boys. It's going to be so great. I don't have work today because it's Saturday. This was yesterday. I'm just going to play with the boys all day. That's all I'm going to do. Play with the boys. But then you get to about halfway through the day and you realize, oh, you know what? I have things I have to do. Right. I have things I have to do. So then I start doing those things and then the time starts eating away and then it's like, oh, it's Saturday. I have to make dinner because I make dinner on Saturdays. And I'm so thankful to not have to make dinner every single day of the week. But, you know, I do have to make dinner some days. And then I chose something really complicated because I don't know why, because I didn't want to go to the grocery store to buy anything else. And I knew how to make this and I knew everybody would eat it. So
these are all good reasons.
It was the first thing that came into my mind. I was like, I'm going to make homemade pierogies because I know how. And while it's complicated, I know everybody will eat it. And that will be a nice thing. So I will do the nice thing. And I didn't have the brain capacity to make another choice. Like once that choice was made in my brain, it was like, that's the only option.
That's it.
There's no other option.
You started down that path, the pierogi path.
And then I was like, you know, like that's
tiptoeing that's down what little we're doing. Pierogi cobblestones in your
drink
mind.
Drink wine and make pierogies. And then the kids wanted to help, which is super sweet, but also made it take longer, which is what happens. But that's fine. See, it's like that mix of like, I'm happy, right? We're happy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, joy and despair. Now, those two words.
Oh, God.
Those two words. it's funny.
Come back to haunt me.
Well, no. It reminds me of a video game. Now, this video game franchise called Danganronpa, which is, yeah, look, I got to replace that. Everybody want to see? Anybody not watching at home? Yeah, so we used a real kitchen prop for a prop in a show because we were desperate and it needed to happen. And now the sugar has leaked out and rusted, and it's awful.
It's
and
salt.
Terrible.
It's real salt.
Salt. Oh, excuse me. I call it sugar. But anyway, it just means we need to replace this thing. We need to replace some props from one of those shows.
Okay.
I did the first live performance of our new Hanukkah show, which the first time, you know, you like dress rehearsal, the first time you tape it, that's fine. It's a controlled environment. But when you're doing it live in front of people, there's a pressure. And
it went
okay. Everyone was pleased. The audience never knows that you may have forgotten to do a couple of the
things
that you wanted to do. Yeah, or new things start happening. You're just snowballs like, okay, we did that. Oh, no. Oh, no. How do we get out of there? Dig yourself out. No, it's not working. I'm just digging myself deeper into this pit. No, thankfully, it wasn't like that. But I did forget a couple of key things. I was just going in through a scene feeling like, oh, I didn't look over this scene before we started because I looked over through everything except this one scene. Scene begins and I'm just like, not like blank slate, but like I know how this ends, but I forget the middle. And then we just passed over the middle and just kind of like, yeah, we're done with that scene. Goodbye. And then afterwards it's like, oh, man.
Next time.
Next time.
Next time.
next time. But the audience didn't care. I mean, whatever. It's just like a thing that happens. Yeah, even though we're doing it over Zoom, right? Live theater still applies. Anything can happen.
I'm still amazed that we're able to make anything right now because I'm just so stressed out. Like, and I'm not as stressed out as I was in New York City, but I'm still like, you know, I think that all of it is just stress, like related, and just this feeling of like not allowing myself to feel too okay, right? Because you don't want to relax too much because you don't want to forget and like do something stupid, like go in someplace without a mask on or. Like you're I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm constantly having to remind myself because while we're out here and why we're out here. And I don't know. I'm not even sure that I said that right, but I'll tell you every single morning I wake up and it's a reminder of what's happening because we're not home.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So every time I wake up in the morning, it's like, oh, right. Pandemic, right? It's really bad right now, right? And I mean, I'm back to a place of like I'm not going to any stores anymore, and I don't know when I'm going to go to another store again. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even really realize the last time I was in a store that I wasn't going to go back to a store again for a while.
Yeah, that was like you didn't realize this was the last time I was going to be in a store. Yep, but there are other ways to support stores. I mean, we've had a lot of people go out of the way to try and support us, which has been super awesome.
And we've made a couple of purchases to some from some puppetry artists as well. There are friends of ours who are making things and selling things. So
my buddy down in North Carolina, actually I think it's Virginia, who has a video game store, been shopping locally there.
Yeah.
And actually shopping locally for video games works out pretty well because there's a lot of shortages happening in the video game world. Like there's new consoles launching, but nobody can find them anywhere because of the huge amount of demand.
Mm-hmm.
And Animal Crossing, you can't get that new anywhere.
Really?
But you can get it at a video game store. Yeah, it's been
ever
since the new Animal Crossing, which is a video game for
the Nintendo
Switch.
I thought everybody had it already.
Well, back in March when it first came out, they didn't anticipate there would be such a huge demand. Thanks to the global pandemic, the video game industry is super crazy strong right now because everyone's sitting at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really hard to find. Then everybody got it. But now that the holidays are back again, that game has become impossible to find again.
Mm-hmm.
So scalpers jack up the prices. They're doing that with the PS5. You can't buy a PlayStation 5. It just came out. You can't find it anywhere. And even on Facebook Marketplace and any other usual cheap places where you can find stuff you can't usually find anywhere else, like Kroger's, they're not there or they're twice as much as what they should be. And people are paying. People are paying $1,000 for a $400 item because you can't get it.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a little nuts.
Wow.
So, yeah, support your local video game stores, ladies and germs. Because not only is it a good thing to do, support local business, but you're going to find things there you won't be able to find anywhere else.
What's the name of your friend's store in Virginia?
Oh, it's pretty sure it's the Super Game Station, but let me just
while you double check that. And then we also have a local New Jersey video game store that we really like to support as well called Digital Press.
That's right.
So we love Digital Press in New Jersey, and they are within very close driving distance to New York City.
Clifton, New Jersey.
Yeah, and they're great. We love that store. And the name of Chad's video game store.
Chad's
friend's video game store is...
Yeah, so it's Super Game Station. So if you go to supergamestation.com, he's an awesome guy. You got to follow him on social media because it's his lifelong dream to have a video game store.
Oh.
Finally has one.
Oh.
He's like buying things from people, you know, like collectors and stuff, or just regular people. You can sell them your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he posts whatever gets traded in onto his social media and categorizes it. And he streams. He's also a musician. So he's just like, he does these early morning streams where he's like playing on a guitar and cooking bacon at the same time, and he's just a really awesome guy.
Yay.
Yeah, John Yamin.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's really cool.
So support some local video game stores that aren't a chain. That's what we're recommending. Super Game Store, Super Game Station, Super Game Station, and
.com
Digital Press. Those are our two recommendations for the East Coast. We went to the library the other day. Our 5-year-old is starting to be able to read, although he doesn't want other people to know that he can read yet. I think he wants to be really, really good at it before he like pronounces that he can read to other people. But he's doing a great job. And
his older brother, I mean, it's like younger brother syndrome where your older brother is so good at it.
Yeah, it's true.
When you're just beginning, you're not super good at it. It makes you very self-conscious.
He's a little intimidated, I think.
It's like that with video games too, because we all play video games together.
Yeah.
We've been playing this game called Pixel Junk Monsters 2, which is this lovely tower defense game. It's two player, it's cooperative, not competitive. You play up to 4 players online, and they love it, but he is very hesitant to be confident in it, because even though he really wants to be good at it and he likes it, he wants everything to be perfect.
Yeah.
So he can be, you know, like as good as the other people in his life.
He does like to do that. Yeah. And he gets very frustrated. So anyway, things are going okay in that area.
Yeah.
And then looming on the horizon in January, February, our in-laws are going to be gone. It looks like they're going to be traveling.
We'll see.
Who knows?
We'll see. They're not changing their travel plans.
We'll see what the future holds. For about 5 weeks. And so it will be the Z and Chad show full time for 5 weeks.
Yeah, that means no more just opening up the fridge and the fridge is fully stocked and you're like, what meat product should I eat for this meal?
I feel like it'll be a bit of a detox, if anything.
That's true.
We'll probably have less meat, but that's good. And
I mean, I was basically a vegetarian for a bit.
I know.
For a bit in the city, now it's like we're a meatitarian because we're just eating meat
carnivores,
with every single meal.
We are carnivores,
and that is not a knock on anything. We're omnivores.
No,
we eat all kinds of stuff. I'm just saying, like the stocked fridge is gone.
I think you know what. I think this is a great example, though. The other night, on Thursday night, your dad suggested that we order Chinese takeout.
Yes,
which we haven't done since we've been here. Nobody has ordered Chinese takeout.
Right.
And I think that maybe the last time we had Chinese takeout was February, because we didn't order out any food when we were
during the pandemic,
once things shut down.
Because it was, you didn't know, like
we just didn't know.
You just didn't know anything. It was scary, and people thought that even just ordering groceries, you had to alcohol wipe everything down.
Yes,
it was nuts.
Yeah, and so we were like, if we don't have to order anything, we won't. And so we made everything, and so we didn't have Chinese food. And I will tell you, that Chinese food on Thursday night was the best tasting thing that I have had in so long, because it was like flavors that I didn't even realize that I missed. Mm. I was like, oh my gosh, it's tofu, because I got General Tso's tofu, even though it's not necessarily my favorite dish, but it's just like so reminiscent of home in a sense to me, like my home, New York City, my home. And so I just ate it, and it was like such a food memory. I couldn't stop talking about it at the table. I think I might have embarrassed myself slightly, but I was so moved by the taste of it, because everything out here that my in-laws make is so bland, and I don't really make anything that has a lot of spice in it, or if I do, it's only for me, and like it's hard to make that kind of like single portion, and even then it's like you're trying to make something, but you can't really make that kind of like robustness in a single serving. And I don't know, it was just, it was awesome. And I didn't realize how much I missed Chinese food, but just having access to something like that and then getting to eat it, and that somebody else made it and that had this whole other flavor palette that I loved. I mean, I guess I just really love food in this very intense, visceral way. And I don't know that anyone else in the house feels that way about food, the way that I feel about food. Like, I will go out of my way to make something because I just want it. And I want it that way. And I want it you know, but, you know, every kids, they're typical kids and they don't really like new things as much. And then your parents like more bland things. And you've expanded your palate tremendously since we've been together for, and we've been together a long time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, but if I were to ask you, what would you like for dinner? You're just like, whatever. Because you don't have like that, you don't care that much that's about correct. Food.
I don't care that much about a lot of things.
Yeah.
But what I do care about, I care about a lot. I will tell you, I'm so happy that you had a great food experience because I did not have a great food experience at all.
I was just missing the flavoring.
I think that's why you had a good experience, because it was like a visceral food memory for you. For me, yeah. It was the opposite. I was like, what is this? This is not General Tso's. How do you mess up General Tso's? I've only had somebody mess up a Chinese restaurant, mess up General Tso's once before in my life. And it's because they forgot to add the sauce. It was barely any sauce. It was dry.
Maybe we should try to make General Tso's.
This was the opposite, where I opened up the styrofoam container.
Which is all, first, that's the first no-no, yeah. Is styrofoam. Because in New York City, you're not allowed to use styrofoam anymore.
It's terrible for the environment. It never goes away.
You know what? That is a sign of how long we've been out here. Because when we first moved out here, I would have been like, oh, styrofoam. And now I'm like, styrofoam, which is horrible. Because I'm the person who like composts and is zero waste and like reduce, reuse, renew, recycle. Like, I mean, that is me. And here I am getting takeout and it's in styrofoam and I just don't even think about it. And then I throw it out. Oh, God.
It's so crazy. It's gonna be okay. We're gonna go back to zero waste, and you know.
I mean, I realize I sound so crazy entitled, possibly
right now.
We're
gonna close the loop.
It's just like who I am and how I identify.
Nobody should use styrofoam. There are better options out there. But it's unable to start streaming. That's okay. That's right. We're just.
I tried for a long time.
I know. It's like, come on, guys. it was when I opened the styrofoam container. General Tso's chicken, right? It's a spicy sauce, but it's not like all like Indian spice, you know, like all hit you, like gonna beat up your tongue. It's a very flavorful spicy sauce. So when I opened it up, I'm used to New York City anyway. New York City Chinese restaurants is like, you get rice, you get like some broccoli. Separates the chicken and the rice. It's kind of like the Great Wall of China, broccoli. And then you get your chicken on one side, and there's a ton of chicken, and there's a ton of rice, and it's packed in there. And sometimes you get, the rice can be, you can have like peas and pork and fried rice or all kinds of, you know, things. This one, I opened it up, and it was the saddest sack of crap ever.
Oh, no.
Ever. I take that back. I apologize for that last comment. I don't know what I was thinking.
I was very disappointed in what I saw.
I knew before I ate anything that I wasn't hungry enough to make it amazing. I was like, this is not going to be good.
And here I am sitting right across the table from you going, this is amazing. And like stuffing my face with the hot and sour soup. And I'll tell you, it wasn't the best hot and sour soup that I've ever had, or the best General Tso's bean curd, as they called it, because they can't use the word tofu out here because it'll freak people out probably. But
yeah, weird.
I don't know. They called it bean curd. But whatever. It wasn't the best in either of those fronts, but it was a flavor palette. And also it reminded me of, you remember what I said? I said, this is Western New York Chinese food, Chad.
Yeah. She gave excuses galore for why it was terrible. So let me finish my couple sentence review here at long last. I opened the styrofoam container, right? I just talked about what it's supposed to look like, or what I've grown to feel accustomed to.
New York City Chinese food.
That's what I've grown accustomed to. That's what I'm expecting. Those are my expectations. Mm. Instead, it's 70%, I take that back, it's 50% rice, like it should be, and then it's 30 to 40% sauce and 10% chicken. And the chicken was floating in a sea of sauce, and it wasn't even good sauce. It was more like barbecue sauce. And I was thinking, wow, that's way too much sauce. And then coming up with ideas about, like, why did they flood this with sauce? am I supposed to mix all the sauce with the rice? Or maybe the chicken is slightly more expensive than the sauce, and they're just getting away with giving me not that much chicken and flooding it with a ton of sauce. Nothing about it was good. Even the chicken wasn't great. I was just like, it was disappointing going in, disappointing going out. At least it didn't make me sick or anything, but I was just like, I kept my mouth shut the whole meal.
You did, because I had no idea that you felt this way. So what are you going to eat for dinner tonight? Because tonight's leftovers.
I'm not eating leftover Chinese food. Maybe if you have any of the soup left. They can't mess up the soup, right?
Hot and sour soup. There is a whole bunch of that left. There's also turkey noodle soup left that we probably should just dump.
I do not want to order from that place ever again, because I only want one thing. I just want one thing. If you go to a Thai place,
like a
I just want one thing.
White American.
Look at his face. You can't get any more
generic. And your name is Chad.
Than this, right? Like generic white man. He just wants General Tso's. He just wants Pad Thai. And I love those things. Those are my favorite things. And if you mess them up, I'll never go to your place ever again. Because how could you mess up something that everybody wants? It reminded me of at midnight we were filming this independent film in New York City, and I was in charge of making sure that the catering food got to set and was available for people to eat by a specific time. Otherwise, the producers would have to pay penalties. That means pay people more money, because they have to provide under contract. You have to provide food to somebody every couple hours. I think it's every 4 hours after the first eight. And if you don't, then you get to pay more. So the producers are always like yelling at me, especially this one.
Because he worked in locations.
Especially this one producer was like, Young Chad. Always call me Young Chad. It's this feisty Irish lady. Young Chad, why are you nodding off? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's the 15-hour work days, 5 days in a row. Anyway, so we had brought this Italian food outside of this Brooklyn, one of those huge Brooklyn apartment buildings that's like really big and
like on Ocean Avenue, those apartment buildings.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So yeah. We had it piled up outside, and the catering was so terrible.
Oh no.
Was it like Italian from a local restaurant? We got there just in time, but it was so terrible that nobody would eat it. It was like salad that was just floating in Italian dressing with barely any kind of like supposed to be like Caesar salad or something. It's like Italian dressing, all this iceberg lettuce, and a couple pieces of chicken, maybe. And all the poor vegetarian camera crew was like looking at it and just shaking their heads and walking away. And everything about it was so disappointing. And you want to do good. Like if you're a caterer, you're a chef, you have to, or if in your locations, you got to bring the catering to everybody. You present it like, here it is, guys, I did it. And everyone was so disappointed. It felt like I did wrong. And I just remember just being like, how can you mess this up? How can you mess this up, Italian restaurants? So anyway, that's the Chinese. I feel like I'm so sorry that I didn't like it.
It's okay,
because I wanted it to be good.
I didn't necessarily like love it, but I missed that flavor profile so much that that feeling superseded any kind of judgment I might have had previous to that.
Right. Well, they say hunger makes the best spice, but I guess so does nostalgia.
Yeah. Like I am going to make potato latkes for Hanukkah, and I will probably make like a second batch after everyone goes to sleep and eat them alone.
You made them really good. Your latkes are always good. And your potato pierogies.
I made crepes this morning. Job. I'm really just trying to cook my way through this. I could just be a professional chef and just not really, because that's a really hard job, and they work crazy, crazy hours. But I do really love food, and my friend Kim is probably not listening to this, but I love food in a really intense way. And my friend Kim was a professional chef for a long time, and now she teaches cooking camp. And my older son was going to go to cooking camp for 2 weeks this summer. He was going to go. And who knows what's going to happen next summer.
Well, Kim and her business, The Connected Chef, They pivoted just like us, man. They were like, whoop, and switched immediately into home deliveries and home deliveries for people who can't afford it.
What's her company name now? Called, it's Lifeline, isn't it? Lifeline Foods?
Something like that, yeah.
I'm going to find it for you. So
they went from teaching kids how to cook to delivering awesome meals to people. And they still do tutorials for people online. And we are with them on Serious Fun After School, which is like an after school program. They do streaming contents. Us and Kim and a couple of other of awesome people from New York City are all teaching all that stuff, all of our amazing techniques and stuff online. And yeah, if you just Google The Connected Chef or Serious Fun After School, you will find them.
But yeah.
Good on them for switching up that business model immediately.
Yeah, Connected Chef is really the main place, but I don't even know what they're doing right now, but it looks like maybe they're starting a garden or something. that looks like my friend Marta. I know it's not, but it looks like her. Anyway, and she's just a really wonderful person. So you should just like The Connected Chef because they're amazing. And she's been doing since the beginning of this. And she's a mom, too, with two young boys just like us. Her and her husband, who's also a professional chef, they have been working so hard at making sure that people have the food that they need to get through this. They've set up food pantries all throughout Astoria. There are refrigerators set up in front on the sidewalk of different locations that people can put food into, and then other people can come and take the food that they need. I mean, it's just amazing the work that they've been doing.
That's like a little library, but for food.
It is. It is. It's a little local food pantries.
That's wonderful.
And people have like bookshelves set up, but instead of books, it's food. Mm-hmm. So it is. It's really wonderful, and I'm so proud to call her my friend, and I know that she feels the same way about food that I do.
I bet. Well, so when
I talk to her and I tell her I had bad Chinese food, but it tasted amazing, I think she'll understand. So I'll have to tell her that she should listen to this episode.
I should have taken a picture. I'm going to take a picture. If we order out again from I don't know what restaurant, unless it's pizza or wings, which again, hard to screw up. Chicago Uno Pizzeria.
Don't stop. People feel very strongly about their pizza, and it's regional, man. It's regional.
Well, let me tell you, I like a deep dish. I like Chicago style. I had a terrible Chicago pizza in New York City. I don't think that surprises anybody. The last time I ever had a Chicago pizza was regretting spending that $20, feeling like this is supposed to be great.
But even out here, the pizza tastes different. Like, so Western New York pizza is a much more doughy pizza. Mm-hmm. It's a thick crust. It's very doughy. The cheese is like, it's like they took like a full like sheet of cheese and put it on top. It's this thick mozzarella cheese with a sweet sauce, but not too sweet. And
it's really sweet.
It is a sweet sauce.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of times people do put sugar in their sauce to combat the acidity of the tomatoes. Mm. You see, do you want to know why I know so much about food? Let me tell you. When we first moved to New York City, we plugged in the TV and the little cable thing into the wall just for fun, just to see what would happen. And we got one channel. And do you know what channel we got? For whatever reason, we got the food channel. We didn't pay for cable. We didn't have an antenna on our TV. I cannot explain to you what cosmos moon shifting third house thing was happening. But for about we're in a basement.
I don't think they can hear that.
Oh, really? They can hear it when I record for Sesame Street. Oh, so never, I always well, have to mind. Comment on it. but anyway, it happened and we got free Food Network for, I'd say, a little under 2 years. Just about 2 years we had it. Mm-hmm. And guess what I watched every single day? The Food Network. And I learned how to cook. So thank you, Food Network, for teaching me how to cook. I actually, even being out here, sometimes I look to see like what's on the Food Network, but it's all reality shows these days. So there's no real cooking show. So I have to go to YouTube to see like cooking shows. But now there's, because I'm really into ethnic cooking too, I do watch and follow certain chefs, home chefs, like people like me, but who are teaching other people how to make their own ethnic dishes from their own kitchens. So I really appreciate that because I learned techniques from them. That's how I learned how to cook stuff, was from the Food Network. So
if you're watching this,
Oh no, was it not recording? Chad Williams. Oh what? No.
No, it's fine. Everything is fine.
So, what are you going to do? Are you going to put up like a little icon for the first half and like people just listen to it until this part?
That's way too much work. No, I'm just going to put up this and we're just going to say like, hey, listen to the MP3 file.
Can we just blame this on the pandemic? Just like everything else?
Yes. Okay. I, you know what? We tried, if you're just watching this, if you're just tuning in, we tried Restream like we usually do, but our upload speed was so terrible that after 35 minutes, it finally gave us an error message saying, no. This isn't happening. So I'm pretty sure it didn't save any of it. So I've at least wanted to push record right now so we could have something up. So
we recorded something YouTube... for 43 minutes that no one will ever see.
So the YouTube playlist at least will
have
something.
It was great. You guys, it was one of the best podcasts ever.
This is true. And if you have way too much time on your hand and you want to animate that episode, I will give you $5. Maybe we can go on Fiverr right now. Because it takes some doing.
Talking heads.
Yeah, exactly. A little jib jab.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think that's it for now. My voice is getting a little hoarse because I did two shows today, too.
I know. That's amazing. And we're so thankful to anybody who's been supporting us or booking shows from us and continues to think of us or recommend us for different things. We just did this thing for Ars Nova. They did a telethon, a 24-hour live telethon, and we used our dragon puppet at the end and sang as part of this Zoom thing.
You sang. And this lady sang. I had to coach her on how to do a dragon voice. She was going like, she was singing like,
like the dragon had smoked like a pack of cigarettes
and
or something.
I was like, no, just sing it. Just sing it, you know. But
I did.
And you did. You found a good low singing
voice.
Good
low voice.
But that's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So I can hear your vocal cords going like twisting themselves.
Yeah. Goodbye, vocal cords. Anyway, well, it's been a week.
Yeah. Now we're looking forward to. I'm looking forward to resetting that Wi-Fi router tomorrow.
Yeah.
Going upstairs, saying hi to the ladies. The only time I say hi is when something's wrong. Resets your internet, and then I'll have to figure out like this who to call at Spectrum if we have an outage like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spectrum.
Thanks everybody, and if you need a holiday show or need some extra. Oh, you know what? We didn't do our PSA. If you're having a hard time, make sure you call somebody or talk to somebody. We want to make sure that you're here at the end of this, right? And I know the times are tough. I've been having a rough couple of days. But, I mean, you know, everything's okay. But
things could be better.
Yeah. We're still living with your parents. And that's great. And
great.
We're so
the
thankful.
The fridge is always stocked.
It's true.
He goes to the meat shop and comes back with a week's worth of food. And I eat meat every single day, and I love it.
Okay.
I actually do. No,
ladies and gentlemen.
Real talk. I would eat some pork. More pork and beef than I've ever eaten in my entire life.
Stock up, honey.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Take care of yourselves and each other.